Hour number two, Darren, Donick, and Jace on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody's having a good day, this rainy Tuesday. I think it's going to be rainy all week. I think it's going to be rainy for the next 2 months. Is it ever going to stop raining?
I don't know.
It's depressing.
You do.
Honestly,
look, it's
I
funny.
Got all jacked up for Sunday. Sunday was awesome. It was 66 degrees, and then right back to this.
Tennessee-Seattle strikes again.
Yeah. Cold and rainy. Boo. Predators are not at home. They're up in Montreal to take on the Canadiens, and John Hines has said that Cale Yarncroke will be a game-time decision. So we will continue to monitor that. So this is a big road trip for the Predators. Four
Huge.
Games starting tonight on the road, tonight in Montreal, Thursday in Toronto, Saturday in Columbus. You going to Columbus?
As of right now, I am.
No?
I haven't been told otherwise.
Going to Minnesota on Sunday? You're not going to Minnesota.
I am not going to Minnesota.
The Predators are going to Minnesota on Sunday.
Are we going to get Willie back? Are they going to allow him to come back, or is Willie going to have to, you know, be in, you know, a bubble and do the show?
I don't know what that means. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, he's with the team. He mm-hmm. travels with the team.
Right.
And they're, you know, going through all these precautions. Are they just going to keep everybody together and not let, you know, like Willie can't come in here?
I don't think so. I don't know what that.
I mean, where is this going?
That's kind of what I've been asking. I don't know. What's the cutoff? That's what we've been trying to figure out. I don't know. I don't think keeping them together is going to happen. No.
Well, no. Who knows?
But I mean, I do ask. I do wonder.
And I'm not trying to make light of this at all. I'm just like it comes a point where we have to have some normalcy. We got to figure something out. They just showed on ESPN the Red Sox doing the new media availability, you know, that they had press conferences, essentially, is what it was.
I guess what I would like to ask all the experts is, what's different with this than in years past? And I don't know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
What is the difference? Why are we reacting this way and we never did this in the past?
I guess because there's so much unknown.
And the there was an unknown in the past?
Sure, there was. But, I mean, it has gotten to a point where you make one new rule and you cancel or postpone one event and it snowballs. So that's what's happening. The NFL saying,
well, that's what I'm getting at. I think this is kind of just taking a life of its own.
Yeah.
When I'm trying to ask a question of, is this different than
I don't have a good answer
all
for
the
you.
Other things that's, we've gone through, like every 2 years or 4 years when
sure.
something like this. I mean, this is not the first time this has happened, folks.
Yeah.
This happens a lot.
But it's the first time it's gotten this extreme.
Right, and why? That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Why?
Right. Yeah, I agree.
What's the difference?
I completely agree. It's something, though.
And that's why I bring up, are you going to Columbus? Do you know if you're going to Columbus?
I mean, I'm going.
No matter what?
Yeah. I mean, if I don't have a bus to ride on, that might change things. But, yeah, I'm planning on going to Columbus.
Congratulations to Doug. And is that his last name, Elijah?
Contradorio.
Doug, congratulations. You were caller number six. And Doug is going to get that John Feinstein book. Enjoy it. John Feinstein is a really, really good author. His books are fantastic. Barrett, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Incredible radio this last week. Very painful, but also necessary. Just a hat tip to you guys for what you did all week long.
Thanks.
So, about the cancellations, it's not necessarily sports-related, but I've got an old friend that's been in the music production business. I met him in the 80s. And just yesterday, every single event that he has in Nashville for the entire month of March, we canceled everything. Conventions, concerts, trade shows, you name it. Anything involving, we're talking thousands of people in Nashville alone that have absolutely no work because you can't commute from, you can't work from home when you're building a stage or putting together a trade show or those kind of things. So this is just really crazy, and I hope you guys can get your interviews without getting access to the locker room. Keep up the good work, gentlemen.
All right, thank you, Barrett. Yeah, I mean, that's what we're all trying to figure out.
Yeah.
What's the new layer? What's the next? And because a lot of what Barrett's saying is happening, that's what we're talking about. And what is the cutoff? When is this going to stop? I think it's all fair to ask. That's why maybe some of you may have been listening to David Poyle about an hour ago. And when I said, do you believe that there's a chance we are watching a hockey game or there's a hockey game being played in front of no one? And you may have heard that and went, huh? And I probably would have said, huh? 24, 48, 72 hours ago. But I think I've stopped saying, huh?
Yeah.
Because of what we're seeing that's going on. And basically, Barrett's right. I mean, we're hearing of all these cancellations of a lot of things.
Yeah, and it just, my hope is here in the next week, health officials will come out and say, hey, this is what we know. This is what we've done. Everything's good. You can go back to normal. Nothing to see. That's what I hope happens. Probably won't, but that's... And then I hope that... Because this is what happens a lot of times. When there is a reaction like this and you have policy changes, that you're going to have some of these leagues go, you know what? We kind of like not letting people in the locker room. Let's just keep it that way. Let's just, you know, do this press conference thing moving forward. We won't grant access anymore. That's you know, because there are those types of people that are like, nah, this is just better. Let's just leave it as is. I hope that does not happen.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of players that would vote for that.
Well, probably some.
In all leagues.
Like, hey, we like this. Keep them out of here.
There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm.
I can think of a few.
What do you think is going to – tell me about tonight. Let's talk about the Predators and this road trip, because this is a critical, critical road trip. By the way, if you didn't check the standings, it is a lot of fun. Sometimes it's cool. Sometimes it's depressing. But every day it moves.
Yep.
It's amazing. And today –
it's like the stock market.
Yeah. Well, by the way, stock market yesterday. How about that?
I know.
Shoddy down?
Yeah. That's look, it's everything's being affected by this stuff.
Winnipeg and Minnesota are currently the two wild card teams, with Vancouver and Nashville and Arizona on the outside looking in. Chicago still a little bit in the mix. And you think about their game Sunday against Minnesota, and you think about in the Eastern Conference, Toronto is a playoff team. They are the third team in the Atlantic, but quite honestly, Toronto could slip. They are the third team in the Atlantic, and right now will also have the same amount of points as the final team in the Eastern Conference.
I know. It's just crazy. Look, it's fun for us. It's fun for the fans to see things this tight. And I think if you're being honest, that's what the league wants. They want parity. I mean, they want it to come down to the wire because it keeps people, you know, invested. Now, for guys like David Poyle and John Hines and the players of the Predators, it's stressful because it, you know, there's no wiggle room. There's no room for error. And, you know, I've been saying that I've been waiting for some of these wild card teams in the mix, one of them or two of them, to run away with it and pull away and say, all right, no, this is ours. And that just has not happened. I mean, I'll even throw Dallas in this mix just because they're at 82 points, Winnipeg at 78. So Dallas, Winnipeg, Calgary, Minnesota, Vancouver, Nashville, Arizona, and as you mentioned, Chicago hanging on by a thread, are all bunched up together by about 10 points. I mean, it's just there's not a lot of wiggle room at all. So you asked me my thoughts on tonight. It's a must win. They needed to win against Dallas both games. Well, they shut them out, so that was huge to get those 4 points. But now with a team like Montreal, that Montreal is not in the playoffs. Probably not going to be in the playoffs. No probably about it, in my opinion. They're not going to be in. This is a game you have to win as a team that's trying to get into the playoffs. You got to go on the road and you got to take 2 points. So, and we've done the math. They don't have a lot of room to lose many more games if they want to get to that 94, 95, 96 point mark that's going to put them in the playoffs. So it starts tonight. Well, it really started Saturday on the road, but you know, with this extended road trip now tonight, they got to get 2 points. I'm going to say it's a must win.
The PGA Tour is staying on CBS and NBC as a part of a new 9-year deal, while ESPN Plus will be the new streaming home for golf. We'll come back, continue the discussion on the other side of Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. So we know Pekka, and we asked David Boyle about this. And I said, how tough is it, David, for you to kind of watch this from Pekka? We've all watched and loved and adored Pekka's career to this point. And, you know, look, they're going to need him down the stretch, but he's taking on a different role, a role we're not accustomed to seeing. And they've got 3 consecutive weekends, starting this weekend, of back-to-backs. They play Saturday and Sunday, 3 consecutive weekends. Columbus and Minnesota this week, Philadelphia and Chicago the following week, followed by Arizona and Colorado to close out the month. Pekka's going to get some more starts. And the next start, considering what happened in the game against Edmonton, and that was a career low for him. He had never had a start like that. It was the worst game he's ever been in net. And I think a lot of people are going to be curious, including me, of how he responds to that.
Yeah, I'll say this, though. We all knew this was going to happen eventually. I mean, when he signed that new deal, the 2-year deal, the 2-year extension to stay, I think everybody has known that eventually UC Saros was going to take over as the starter. We just didn't know when. And we kind of figured it would happen naturally. And to this point, that's exactly what has happened. And it's not that, you know, I know you go and you look at Pekka's numbers and they're not typical of what he usually does, but you can also go and look at the individual games. There are some, especially after the coaching change, that he has been more to form. And he's gotten them points. He's gotten them big wins. Edmonton, I know, that is one that we just want to push to the side and not look at. And that changed a lot with his numbers, giving up those 8 goals. But we all knew this was going to happen eventually.
Well, but you're glossing over he was pulled from a couple of the...
He was.
He had 4 starts.
You're right. He was.
In February, and he was pulled.
He was.
So you're kind of glossing over, acting like the Edmonton was kind of an outlier, but it really wasn't.
That's fair. That's a fair point. But to my original point, we knew that UC was going to take over. I think we weren't necessarily prepared that it was going to happen now. That it was more, okay, I could see in the second year of that contract, you see more of a 50-50 split, or maybe UC gets more of the starts than Pekka, a little bit more, and that's when it happens. But you got to ride the hot hand. Saros has played lights out. I mean, back-to-back shutouts, what more can you ask for from him? And so this is just what you have to do. But to your point and to David Poyle's point, Pekka is going to be called upon to win some big games. I mean, he is going to have to be used down the stretch, especially with the back-to-back. So, you know, don't write him off. He's not out to pasture yet. He's still got something left in the tank, and they're going to have to rely on him if they want to make the playoffs.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about that, but I want to see what his next start is going to look like, considering
too.
We've never
too.
Seen him come off his worst game ever. I mean, his save percentage was .742.
Right.
I mean, we've never seen a game like that. So I want to know how he's going to respond. I mean, they need him. And as David Poyle said, they're going to need him down the stretch, and they're going to need him next year because he's going to be on the team next year. People need to understand that.
Right. And to explain this, because he is a 35-plus player, his contract would even – so if he retired at the end of the year, his contract would still count against the cap. And they'd have to pay him. So that is something that he's protected by. So he's going to be here. I mean, it was a 2-year deal. He's going to play that 2-year deal. And beyond that, who knows? But that he's definitely going to be here next year.
I wonder which game he plays in, Columbus or Minnesota?
I'd probably say Columbus.
When you, Minnesota's on NBC Sports Network. I wonder if that plays a factor in anything.
I don't know if that really matters. I'd have to pull up the splits, but I think I'd probably go Pekka against Columbus, UC against Minnesota. That's probably what I would say.
He played in one of the Minnesota games this year back in October. No, actually, you know, they had two games against Minnesota in the first month, and he played in both of those.
So, and this is Saros.
Picked up wins in both.
Yeah, Saros is 0-1 against the Wild this year.
So Pekka played in two, UC played in one, and they still have two more games against Minnesota to go.
Yeah.
Sunday, and then they close out the regular season with the Wild.
What would you do? Is that what you would do? Would you go Pekka against Columbus and UC against Minnesota?
I don't really know what the right answer is. I guess tell me what happens tonight and Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the reason I would spread it out like that.
I mean, if UC pitches two more shutouts, I mean, we're talking about you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're not changing.
I know that's a little unrealistic to think that he's going to go four straight games. I'm just saying if he keeps playing out of his mind.
Sure.
By the way, we're assuming Pekka would start in a back-to-back. If UC keeps playing the way he's playing, they're just going to keep him in net. They're going to ride him out.
Yeah, but you also have to be careful. You don't want to, I mean, if you're like, okay, that's our guy and we're feeling better going into the playoffs, you don't want to run him into the ground either. So that's a balance. I mean, and I think that's a very important thing this time of year.
He's a young guy. He's been the backup the whole time. I don't know how you can run UC at this point in his career into the ground. I mean, he hasn't had a ton of starts. So I just think you're going to John Hines has been made it very, very clear. He's riding the hot hands. He's riding people that are playing the right way. He's riding hot hands, and he doesn't really care what your contract is, how long you've been with the team. And I just kind of feel like if they just keep winning and he's in net, that's probably what he's going with.
Yeah. Well, it depends on, you know, the workload too. I mean, how many shots is he facing? So if he takes care of business tonight and Thursday and doesn't face a lot of shots, then, you know, that factors into the weekend. If he does, then you probably give him Saturday off, then because you have an extra day in between Toronto and Minnesota, and then he plays Sunday against Minnesota, and then there's 3 days off before the next game. So, just, you know, that's just something that they're very good about. I think, you know, one thing Peter Laviolette used to say is they may have a plan at the beginning of the season of how they're going to split the goalies. That plan changes many, many times throughout the season. So, based upon injury and results and all that. And I think John Hines feels the same way.
I just think it's going to be a little bit different. We're in uncharted territory. We've never had the anticipation of a next start for Pekka like we're going to have whenever that next start is, because I don't know if there's a lot of people that feel like me, but I have to believe that there are. Just a lot of people want to know, how's he going to respond? I mean, it's critical for this team. You want to see the correct response. You want to see things fixed, so to speak, and you hope there's no carryover to that start. And I think that's every game is so critically important at this stage with 14 to go. I just think it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, and I think the thing that I have watched with all of this, you may remember when Pekka first started, when he took that job from Dan Ellis and became the guy, very early on in his career and for several years after that, Pekka just needed to play. I mean, that's just when he was at his best. I mean, he was like Derrick Henry at Alabama. The more you fed him the ball, the better off he was. That was Pekkarinen. And when he got into situations where, you know, he was injured, or especially when he got older and they started to give a Carter Hutton or a UC Saros more starts to try and give Pekka rest, he struggled because he was so used to playing all the time and being in a rhythm that it kind of threw him off. Now, he's adapted to that, I think, especially the last few years, because UC has gotten more opportunity. that Pekka has worked on that. But I can remember early on that, and if he wasn't playing a ton of games, that's when he struggled. So it's been interesting to see him adapt and change, and he's having to do it even more now that, as of today, I mean, he's the backup. So he's not playing that much at all, and so I'm with you. I want to see what the response is when he's thrown in there.
You know how many times he's been pulled this season?
Five? Six?
Six. Yep.
Yeah. Look, that's – and you talk about uncharted waters.
Mm-hmm.
That is definitely uncharted waters. And some of that was not his doing. It wasn't getting a lot of help, but some of it was. So that's the tough part in all of this, that you watch some of those games where he got pulled and you go, yeah, he probably should have. That was the right move. And you go to Saros. And then there's some where he gets pulled and goes, well, they weren't helping him anyway. So it was good to get him out of there.
Yeah, Vancouver was definitely not his friend or anybody's friend.
No.
This year.
No.
Especially special teams.
Yeah, there have been some teams that they, and honestly, until this past weekend, Dallas was one of them.
Yeah.
That they they could not get anything going.
It's good to get those two wins because they needed that.
Yeah.
Against Dallas.
And you felt good at the start of the Winter Classic with how that one went, that they capitalized on the long power play, got those two goals, and then it snowballed out of control after that.
We'll come back and talk to Matt Jones, talk a little bit about Kentucky basketball. Big Blue Nation will be heading to our city to probably take over Bridgestone Arena. And actually, their first game will not be until Friday. But we'll talk to Matt Jones next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5. 102.5 is your local donation station. Here at the game, we're happy to help in accepting donations to help the tornado disaster relief efforts. The Nashville Community Resource Center is in need of the following items: tarps, rolled plastic, hand sanitizer, laundry detergent, work gloves, trash bags, just to name a few. Donations will be accepted Monday through Friday from 8:30 in the morning until 5 in the afternoon at our studio located at 1824 Murfreesboro Pike here in Nashville. That's right by the airport. You can see a full list of the items at thegamenashville.com/donations. thegamenashville.com/donations. Once again, that list: tarps, rolled plastic, hand sanitizer, laundry detergent, work gloves, trash bags, just some on the list. Get a full list, go to thegamenashville.com. Every year, or at least for last several years, I know that Belmont and Vanderbilt have played over at then First Tennessee Park, now First Horizon Park. We know Germantown was hit hard. And I guess they were supposed to play today, is that correct?
No, it's next week.
Next Tuesday?
Yeah, March 17th. So they are no longer going to
Tuesday.
Do that. Yeah, they are. But I just saw this release from Belmont: due to damages sustained from the tornado at First Horizon Park, the Nashville Sounds announced Tuesday that they will no longer host the Belmont-Vanderbilt game on March 17th. Both schools are working together to play the game at another location. The date and time is to be determined. So First Horizon did get, it was there. It was right in the path of everything and did sustain some damage. I saw the pictures of the scoreboard.
Mm-hmm.
It looked pretty banged up. So kind of figured they would have to do something like this. And unfortunately, won't be able to play that game over there.
Yeah. Haven't really heard anything on the college baseball front.
No.
Nothing to this
point.
Yeah,
about the...
They're right in the heart of their season. And so far, haven't really heard much at all. So I don't know if that's going to change or where that's going, but pretty interesting. The big news today is that the Ivy League men's and women's basketball tournaments have been canceled due to coronavirus. And right now, reading some of the stuff from Harvard, they're ticked about it. They beat Yale twice on the men's side, and they're the number two seed, and now they're going to get left out of the tournament. Didn't get a chance to try to beat them three times, but I've seen a lot of Harvard players, Tommy Amaker is the Harvard coach, not pleased with that decision because now Yale is getting to go to the NCAA tournament without winning their conference tournament, the Ivy League conference tournament. Matt Jones is on the line with us, Kentucky Sports Radio. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing fantastic as we sit here in the heart of Nashville, and the SEC tournament is supposed to get cranked up tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. So let me just start with the news, and I want to know how much you guys are talking about it. And I know it sounded silly yesterday or over the weekend or maybe even on Friday, but as we sit here today and all these cancellations everywhere, I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but, I mean, do you think we're going to be talking about possibly the SEC basketball tournament being played in front of no one?
No, I don't think they can do that at this point. I mean, I think if they were going to do that, they needed to do it yesterday because it starts Wednesday. You know, the Ivy League tournament doesn't start till Friday.
Yeah.
So they had a few days. Plus, the Ivy League tournament was on Harvard's campus. Harvard had a student test positive, and I think that's a little more of a worry. I think you got to be more careful when you bring people to a campus than in a downtown area. So, no, I don't think that's going to happen. There's also a little thing that happens with the SEC tournament that's called insurance. And they have insurance if it's canceled. And if it's canceled, they can cash it. If they play it in front of nobody, they can't cash it. They just lose the money. I cannot imagine they're going to play a tournament where they get no gate receipts and not get their insurance. So I think it's more likely they cancel the whole thing than they play it in front of no people.
I sat in the Georgia Dome the year the tornado hit and when Kentucky was playing, and we know what happened. That tournament, as you said, was not canceled. It was played in front of no one over on the campus of Georgia Tech. So basically, they listened to your words. They didn't get insurance, and they didn't get gate receipts. Is that correct?
Yeah, and that's the worst of all options for the play. So, you know, I mean, I was at that same tournament. Kentucky was about to play. And
that's right. They were next up, yeah.
So they ended up playing the next day at an empty Georgia Tech stadium. And, you know, listen, I could be wrong. I mean, if something crazy happens today, they might do it. But I think they'll play it. Now, I do wonder about the NCAA tournament next week because the thing is, and I'm not, you know, an expert, but I've followed this quite a bit because I'm intrigued by it. We're going to know by this weekend whether this is going to be like a full-fledged, really bad thing or just a kind of serious annoyance. And if we find out this weekend that the cases have quadrupled like they did in Italy, then they may not have a choice with the NCAA tournament. But, you know, the events that have canceled for the most part so far, like the Indian Wells tennis tournament, those are tournaments that draw worldwide people, and that's a bigger issue when you're bringing the entire world into one spot. I don't think it's as big an issue when, like the NCAA tournament, it's one country. So we'll have to wait to see.
Yeah, good point. The NHL, MLB, NBA, and MLS, and that affects two professional sports teams in this market with the Predators and now Nashville SC, first year of MLS in this city. I've never seen a joint statement before in all the years I've been doing this, Matt, of four professional sports leagues coming together and coming out with a joint statement. So that's happened where, you know, the media members not going into locker rooms. And so,
yeah, but that's, I don't think that has anything to do with the coronavirus. That is, they've been waiting to do this. I mean, they just don't think media members should be in locker rooms.
Well, I don't think so. That's not what the memo said.
Yeah, well, of course it's not. I mean, they're not going to say, we've been waiting to do this for 50 years. And now, I mean, listen, you're not going to convince me that the danger to those players is media members walking in when they sweat on each other all day. And they, like, you know, it's like the idea, the Atlantic 10 banned handshakes. Like, these dudes are running all over, sweating on each other, playing basketball for 40 minutes, and the thing that's going to infect them is the handshake at the end of the game? Stop it. I mean, I've never really believed reporters should be in locker rooms anyway, but I also don't think that's really the worry. I think the bigger worry is just, in general, look, if you don't think these media members should be close enough to players to come in the locker room, then to be quite frank with you, you shouldn't be playing the games, period. So, you know, excuse me for maybe being a little skeptical of that one.
No, I mean, I agree. I've been saying here on the show today, what's the line? I mean, what is it? I mean, you're canceling flights everywhere, but yet we can still hop on a flight for dirt cheap. Then if it's a problem, then why are we able to do it? I mean, I just want to know what the line is.
Well, though, here's the line. In my opinion, this is why people who are really interested in this stuff should look at Italy. Because what Italy did is Italy tried to do what we're doing for about 3 or 4 weeks. They tried to kind of just massage around it. And it just realized, like, the days of that working are past, including here. Like, the thing is, we're at the mercy of this thing now. It's either going to hit or it's not. And these little minor provisions we're doing are not going to help. The only thing that would help would be to shut it down, like what we did in Italy. And I just don't think this country's ready to do that. I just don't think this country wants to do that. And so, you know, we're kind of at the mercy of this disease. We don't know if it's going to hit us hard or not. And there's really not a whole lot we can do about it. So, for instance, I'm coming to the SEC tournament because I'm not worried about it. It's either going to happen or it's not. And if you look at the places, like in this little small town in Kentucky where it spread, it was at a Walmart, and it spread before anybody even knew it had spread. That's what's happening everywhere because in America we're not testing enough people. So there are hundreds of people that have it that we don't even know have it that are spreading.
So your belief is, if I'm hearing this correct, that when this is all said and done, when it's passed, which hopefully is sooner rather than later, you don't think these leagues are coming back to this rule. You think they're going to keep it implemented.
No, they've been waiting for a reason to do this. They have. They've been waiting. You know, there is – I believe when it comes to locker room access, you'll never get it again. That's my belief. Now, maybe I'll be proven wrong, but that's my belief. I bet you never get it again. At the University of Kentucky a few years back, you used to be able to go in the locker rooms. And then they had this little incident where, like, two reporters kind of got into it in the locker room. And so they said, you know, to calm everything down, we're not going to allow you back in the locker room for a couple games. And then they never let them back ever again. It was like the perfect straw to never allow them back in the locker room. And I think that's what you're going to see across the sporting leagues. And I don't think it's like some travesty, because I'm not sure you need to be in the locker rooms, but I will make you a bet. I could come on your show before the SEC tournament next year, and you still won't be allowed in locker room.
I'm going to remember this conversation. I'm really intrigued on where that's going.
I think he's onto something. I really do.
I mean, that will certainly affect how we conduct our business here. That's very interesting.
I would like those sporting leagues to look me in the eye and say medically why it's necessary to close the locker rooms but to still play the game. Because if you're telling me that being so close to a media member in a locker room could infect the players, then sitting next to strangers in the stands can do it. So you're not being honest. If you believe it's that big a deal, and I'm not saying it's not. I'm not a doctor, and I'm not a professional on this. But if you think it's that big a deal, then you shouldn't be playing these games at all. You just shouldn't. And they're not going to do that. So they're making this rule, which to me has other secondary goals, because there's no way that I can rub shoulders sitting with the guy in section 34 with a stranger, and that's okay, but these people in the locker room are not okay. Just forget it. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, the thing for the last 2 days that I've been confused with, Matt, is the alternative to what they're doing is, because you still have to have access, is they're pulling now the head coach and certain players into what? Into a room full of people at a podium.
That's what we already do in college.
So that's okay, but yet going into a locker. So it's okay to pull the head coach and players into a room full of people, media members, at a podium, but yet that's safer as opposed to walking into a locker room. I guess that's where I'm confused.
Well, it's because you're confused because there's no logic in it. I mean, it's just, you know, the thing is, you can never, my grandpa used to say to me, never try to rationalize with a crazy person because you'll just hit your head against the wall. And that's exactly this. And I've forgotten that over the years while I'm on Twitter. But I'm not saying these people in the leagues are crazy, but they're not making this decision based on logic. That's why, again, I keep going back to Italy. For weeks, Italy did this thing of, okay, we can play, but we're not going to play here, but we will play here. And then, I mean, they realize that's just foolhardy. You either got to stop playing or just go on as is, and they finally decided to stop playing. I don't know that we'll get to that here, but we might. But I don't think it's going to happen before the SEC tournament. But I do wonder about the NCAA tournament next week. I mean, the NCAA tournament is going to be played, one of the rounds in Spokane, Washington, which is where a lot of the problems are. I mean, you know, we'll see, but I could see that. And the other thing is, unlike the SEC tournament, most of the SEC tournament money comes from gate receipts. For the NCAA tournament, most of that money comes from television.
Contract, yep.
So it's less important to have people in the stands than it is for the SEC tournament.
No doubt. Matt Jones on the line with us, Kentucky Sports Radio. What's the real story on Ashton Hagans? What's going on?
Well, he's just, I think, been a little bit of an annoyance for everybody around the program for a few weeks, and I think it came to a head at that Tennessee game when he got into it with Calipari, and I think there was just sort of an agreement that he needed to have a one-game suspension, and I think they called it personal time to sort of protect the kid, which, you know, I'm cool with, but let's be real as to what it is. What it is that, you know, he needed to be suspended, and I think that's what ended up happening.
Matt Jones is with us from Kentucky Sports Radio. It also came out, Emmanuel Quickly was named the SEC Player of the Year, and John Calipari named the Coach of the Year. Probably not a huge surprise, because we see this most years where they start off with a young group, a little slow, and then get better as the year goes on. But what did you think of those honors?
Yeah, I think this was one of Cal's best jobs. First of all, this team is not as young. I mean, they only start one freshman, which for right. some teams that's very young. But, I mean, this is actually, for Cal, an older team. But the biggest issue for this team is it's just not as talented as most of his teams. I mean, here's what I've learned following Kentucky and Calipari over the years. You can win with freshmen, but they better be damn good. Like, they got to be elite freshmen. The quickest way to lose is to have second-tier freshmen. That's when you lose. And Calipari this year doesn't have his freshmen, with the exception of Tyrese Maxey. They're kind of second-tier freshmen. So that means he basically has one star freshman and a bunch of sophomores and juniors. And the sophomores and juniors are good, but they're not John Wall, Anthony Davis, Carl Towns good. And so I think he's done a really, really impressive job. He basically, guys, has four players that are good. Four. And the bench, now they played well against Florida, but for most of the year, the bench hasn't really been much at all. And he's taken that team and gone from losing to Evansville to 15-3 in the SEC, which is his fourth best record as the coach of Kentucky. The only teams that have been better in conference than this one were John Wall, Anthony Davis, and the 38-1 team. That's pretty impressive when you consider they probably only have one guy on this team who's certainly going to play in the NBA, and that's Tyrese Maxey. So I've actually have been very impressed with Cal this year. I think he deserved Coach of the Year, and Quickly deserved it too. It was a close race. I think you could have given it to that dude at Arkansas, Jones, and you could have given it to Skylar Mays, but I think Quickly was probably the right choice since he was on the best team.
Is this SEC tournament where Cal really can do his thing? Because everybody going into it is thinking, okay, Kentucky probably wins it, but there's so much unpredictability in the SEC. I have no idea what Auburn is. You know, what are they going to do in the tournament? LSU kind of in the same category, and then who knows if you have one of those teams that comes out of nowhere and does something. So I feel like that's where Cal can really be at his best.
Yeah, it's a wide open tournament. I mean, I'd say there's probably only two or three teams that can win it, probably Kentucky, Auburn, maybe Florida. But I do think there are 11, 10 teams that could make the finals, to be honest. I mean, like, it's wide open to me. I mean, this year in the SEC, the difference about this year in the SEC and other years, I think Kentucky's probably the only really good team in the league, but the bottom of the league is a lot better than it's been. So, like, take Arkansas. I mean, I think Arkansas is the 11 seed. Arkansas is good. That team should be in the NCAA tournament in terms of their talent. Now, they've underperformed, but they're good. And, you know, Vandy is the 14th seed and the worst team, and they played Kentucky. They were up 15 on Kentucky down in Nashville, and with 7 minutes to go in Lexington, they were beating them. So that is not your typical terrible SEC bottom dweller. So I think that's the thing about the league this year. On the paper, it doesn't look as strong because the best teams maybe aren't as good as they are most years. But I think the worst teams are a lot better, and that's why I think the tournament, to be quite frank with you, is wide open.
All right, last thing, Matt. With all that being said, in your opinion, how many teams from this conference get into the NCAA tournament?
Well, probably only four. I mean, you know, the problem is Mississippi State and South Carolina – both have had multiple chances to win bids, and then they go, you know, poop the bed in the game that they got to win. So, I mean, if Mississippi State were to beat Florida and then beat Kentucky in the semifinals, which they could, then maybe they squeeze in. But other than that, I think it'll just be Kentucky, Auburn, LSU, and Florida. And all those teams could advance, and all those teams except maybe Kentucky could lose in the first round. So it's a weird year, and I think college basketball across the board, nobody's good.
Mm-mm.
So this will be the most exciting NCAA tournament in a long time.
Throw darts for sure. Hey, enjoy your time in Nashville. Thanks for doing this as always.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Matt Jones, Kentucky Sports Radio. We'll come back, wrap up the second hour next. We'll talk to Jim Wyatt to kick off the third hour of Darren Donick and Chase, TitansOnline.com. The fourth hour, we'll kick it off by heading up to Montreal, learning a little bit more about the opponent for the Predators tonight at 6 o'clock, pregame at 5. We just had a conversation with Matt Jones, Kentucky Sports Radio, talking about this Kentucky team that's coming to town. The SEC Men's Basketball Tournament expected to tip off tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be Georgia and Ole Miss starting the action. The nightcap will be Vanderbilt and Arkansas. I do not agree with him on what he said about the leagues have just been looking for a reason. I don't buy that.
Okay, so why?
Okay.
Because I do. I actually agree with him.
Let me tell you why I disagree. It's easy for Kentucky to do that. You know why? Because what's their roster consist of? 18-year-olds.
Yeah.
Basically high schoolers.
Okay.
Kids have just left high school. And you know what a coach, what drives coaches crazy is when young people say stuff they shouldn't be saying. And I'm sure that drives a coach crazy. And they're 18 years old. And I get it. At 18, I said stupid stuff. And I wouldn't handle things like I would even 4 years later. Let's say if you're a professional athlete. We're talking about professional athletes. We're talking about the NHL, NBA, MLB, MLS. Professional athletes. People in their 20s, mm-hmm. 30s, some sports, 40s. These are 18-year-olds. And it's Kentucky, okay? I know how that operates. It's just like Alabama. Nick Saban, John Calipari, they own the state. They are the state. Those coaches are the most powerful people in the state. And you know what they love? Control. Let's say it together.
Control.
It's like Janet Jackson. Control.
Control.
Okay? That's what they like. Control. And so you're not going to convince me that because Kentucky doesn't open up their locker room, because John Calipari and their staff of media relations that have to probably hover when they did have them open and listen to every single word and get ready to pounce and jump in there and say, we're done here.
Yeah.
Because an 18-year-old says something stupid. And that,
well, look, I've heard a 30-year-old say something stupid, too.
Yeah, so. I understand. Nobody's immune to saying stupid stuff. I'm not saying it only happens to 18-year-olds. But I said, we're talking about student athletes who are 18. And it's much easier to shut down that because you know what? In that state and in that market, doesn't matter whether the locker room's open or not. That's all they're going to talk about anyway.
Yeah.
Whether it's open or not. They have a monopoly. They own that area, and it's a machine. It's a 24-hour machine, and because you don't have the locker rooms open, it's not going to change how they talk about that product. We're talking about professional sports. Major League Baseball plays 162 games. You telling me they're going to shut down their rooms after 162 games? For 162 games, you think that? NHL, NBA, for 80? The NBA is all about what? Marketing.
Mm-hmm.
They do it better than anybody. It's about their superstars. And what? Less access? Wrong answer. NHL, yeah, that's what they need. Less access. Less people talking about them. Sure, that's a great idea. MLS, are you kidding me? Yeah, less access. Less people talking about them. That's what they need, too. I just don't buy it. I don't buy it for a minute. Professional sports leagues are not going to operate like that. A college? Sure. Alabama football? Yes. Kentucky basketball? Yes. They got no issue shutting down their room because it drives those coaches bonkers when they say stupid stuff. And they're kids. They're still kids. Okay, and some of them are really mature and can handle that situation, and some are not. And yes, are there adults that are immature and say stupid stuff? Yes, we all know the answer to that. And we all know people that are adults and are immature and say stupid stuff. But as a whole, professional athletes, they're not going to – I don't buy for a minute that they're using this as a reason to never open up the room again. I don't buy that for a minute.
I am not going to speak for every player in professional sports, but I could totally see a group saying, hey, you know what? Kind of like how this flows better. Because what do players always say about the locker room? The sanctity of the locker room. That's our space. That's our office. That's where we go, and that's where we work. And that's the coaches. I mean, I've heard players say, you know, the coaches don't really come in the locker room. That's for the players. So I could totally see some players, not all, pulling that and saying, hey, can we just do this how we've been doing it, of we'll go in the hallway or we'll go to a media room or something like that. And you have certain people that within organizations that might be like, okay, whatever you guys want to do. I definitely buy it. I'm not going to be so quick to dismiss it and say because they're professional athletes that they're going to stick with it. I just don't believe that. I believe that if this works, if it's efficient, if the media, because the media is going to have to admit it, whether they like it or not, like, okay, well, we're still getting the information that we need. The only difference is going to be you're not, whereas when we go to the room, we can walk up to any player we want and ask him a question. That's going to be the thing that's going to be difficult. But if you're getting the information and you're able to get it out to people, then it's very easy for the teams and the leagues to say, well, you're still doing your job. Why do you need to go in the locker room? So I think it'll be more of a discussion than you think. That's just my personal opinion. I could be
I'm
wrong.
I'm not willing to go there. I'm not going there. At Kentucky, sure. In Tuscaloosa, sure. Not professional sports. We'll come back third hour. Jim White to kick things off. Titans Online. That's next.